So thankful for that wonderful song leading and singing amongst us. So thankful for that wonderful prayer. Thankful for the opportunity to come and study the Word with you and worship our Father God and talk about and communicate and pray through Jesus Christ our Savior. I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for the support group that I have with my family. And Michelle, Brady Carson, my mother Diane, and my uncle Don, and I'm thankful for their presence. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10 is where we'll start this evening. Mark 10. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabbi, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I want you to take from this scripture in verse 51 the title of the lesson this evening. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Now, if you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour." So Jesus was traveling. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So on his way, he stops in Samaria. There was Jacob's well. It was about the sixth hour, and it says that he was wearied in verse 6. So you can imagine from traveling, whether it be by some type of animal or on foot or whatever the bit of travel, we know that even today traveling can wear you down by car. But whatever form or fashion they had in traveling or what he was doing, he was wearied, probably mentally and physically, emotionally, because he was human. He was tired. He was probably thirsty, obviously. So, in verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Well, before we move any further, this was a rather big deal. For one, in that day and time, men did not really speak to women in public. like this, in this setting. And not only that, Jews did not communicate or talk to or associate socially with Samaritans. So there's two things there. A man talking to a woman, a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman, and a Jew talking to a Samaritan. And also asking to share a drink, or to give a drink, or to share from the same well as this woman. In verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So, Jesus right here is doing something that is out of the norm. He's breaking down social barriers. And he's being very genuine and loving. And it's not a normal setting between a man and a woman and a Jewish man and a Samaritan woman. And Jesus has went outside the norm or the comfort zone of many, okay? But he's talking about a living water. Now we understand as we go throughout the lesson that this water that he's trying to tell this woman is not a physical water from the well, something much greater. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? She's still thinking of physical water. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, that physical earthly water from the well. But whoever drinks, in verse 14, of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You will never thirst again. Eternal life, everlasting life in Jesus Christ. He will quench your thirst, spiritually speaking. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. He's got her hooked. He's been nice to her. He's telling her something. He's giving her the word of God, the truth, hope. He's presenting hope to this woman. She wants to know more about it. Where do I get this water? Give me this water, she says, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Because now he has shown her something miraculous, in a sense that he knows her heart. He knows her ins and outs. He knows her and what she's done and what she is doing. Our fathers, in verse 20, worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So, Jesus has broken down social barriers He has communicated with this woman. He has been gentle with this woman. He has been kind to this woman. He has told her things about herself. He has confronted her with the truth. But he has done it in a loving way, a hospitable sort of way. See, he catered to her needs. He got down on her level. He related to her, communicated to her, but he still confronted her with the truth. He did not shy away or condone her behavior. He was still bold in letting her know her shortcomings and presenting her with the truth. And then it says that the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. We often say that within the brotherhood, and that is our goal, because the Father is seeking such. And it says that we must worship in spirit and truth. And I believe that with all my heart. But I do also believe that if we want to be pleasing to the Father, and if we want to worship in spirit and truth and do the will of God, that we must have a spirit like Christ. And that is presented so well, I do believe, in this lesson in John chapter 4. In verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah, Jesus says. He tells her, that is who you're looking for and seeking. That is me. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, as we spoke about earlier. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? No one questioned Jesus. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. You see, he had a water that he was preaching to this woman. And he had food. He had things to take care of. It was spiritual in nature. By doing the will of his Father and our Father. Therefore the disciples said to one another in verse 33, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one who sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So Jesus has broke down social barriers. Jesus has been kind and nice to this woman. Jesus has told her the truth. He preached everlasting life to her, that water. And then he confronted her about what she needed to do and change and repent of. But she received it well because he was nice and he was hospitable. And he got down on her level and related to her and was outside of the norm and the comfort zone of those individuals at that time, socially speaking. Because of the word of the woman who testified? Or was there more to it? Why did they truly believe? Verse 40, so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, Jesus' word, many more believed. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, For we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after the 2 days, he departed there from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they also had gone to the feast. So what does this mean for us today? Well, I believe it paints a perfect picture of the great commission that we are commissioned with as Christians and members of the Lord's church to present that everlasting life, the bread of life, the water that Jesus gives for eternal life that all can freely drink if they choose to obey the Word of God. You see, Jesus got outside the comfort zone. We must have to do that sometimes. It may be things that people believe we don't believe. It may be things they do and choose to do as a lifestyle. Whatever the reason is, we may have to get out of our comfort zone. We may have to break down these social ills to have that spirit like Christ. He's given us an example of how to handle this situation. Well, you always have the question, so we're supposed to approve and condone of all this filth in the world with all these people living and going against the Word of God? No, absolutely not. We're to approach the situation like Christ, I do believe. Maybe we have a common meal. Maybe we speak to them. Maybe we offer them something. We take the time to get to know them, to be their friend, be their neighbor. Show them love like Christ. But when the time comes, you never shy away from the truth. You be bold in the truth, but you do it like Christ. He told her what she needed to do because of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. So in evangelism, how do we handle this? Well, I believe that we handle it like 39 through 42. And many of the Samaritans of the city, that city, believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me that I ever did. Jesus knows what we have done. And we can present the Bible to those of the world or those erring brothers and sisters to understand that Christ and God the Father know the hearts of man and women, men and women. We may not, but they do, and we don't. So when the Samaritans had come to him in verse 40, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Took a little time to teach and preach, and many more believed because of his own word, the Word of God, the Bible, Jesus for us now. He says, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Folks, when we present the truth to somebody, it's not coming from us individually. We give them the Bible. We give them the Word of God. It's not something that we say or that we do. We let the Bible confront them with what they got going on. Maybe they're like this woman, but we let the Bible take care of that. We let God take care of that, the Word of God. We just show them the Bible, and we love them. Now, sometimes this may happen in a setting like this within a few hours. Sometimes it may take years in the workplace or family members. But we must have a spirit like we give them the Bible. We let the Bible do the work. We let God do the work. God give the increase. We just plant and water the seed. To me, this is a prime and perfect example of personal evangelism for us today. When we look to Christ and the Word of God as our example. And if we keep the mindset throughout the brotherhood and when we go out to the community and we go out into the world, what do you want me to do for you? Within our marriages, within our homes, within our families, within our friendships, in the workplace. Like Jesus said to Bartimaeus, if we keep that ingrained in our minds and on our hearts and we use that, I think we will prosper. What do you want me to do for you? serving others. You know, you've heard this, I'm sure, many times, joy. And what does joy stand for? True joy is Jesus, others, then yourself. And that's true joy. Because when it comes down to this, when we try to reach people, and we love people, but love, there's a misconception sometimes of love. Love is not always happy-go-lucky, hunky-dory, anything goes. No. Most of the time, true love is chastising and has discipline involved. But we let God do the chastening through the Word. Because nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. And I'm sure many of you have heard that before. I've read about it in books. I've heard other brethren say that. But I think that's very true. Nobody really cares how much you know. They're not going to be receptive of the Word or what you have to say in teaching if they don't think you care about it. So we must care about them first and be a neighbor, be a friend. I believe this is a perfect example of personal evangelism. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never been immersed into Jesus Christ. You've never been baptized. You've never obeyed the Word of God, done the will of the Father, according to the Word of God, not something that I've come up with. Maybe you yearn for that everlasting water, an eternal life, a spiritual water. And now, because of the Word of God, you can see past these earthly things, and you yearn for more. Give me this water, like that woman said. Here's water. I hope and pray that you do that tonight, because salvation is today. Maybe you're a brother or a sister and you're a Christian, but you've erred from the truth, or you feel like maybe you don't strive to have a spirit like Christ. You've become calloused and you've become hardened and you've started building up animosity towards people in the world. You don't love them anymore and you want to love them more. And you need prayers. You want to be restored, or you just need prayers of encouragement to be a stronger Christian. Me, and I'm sure the rest of the brethren here tonight are here for you. What can I do for you? If we can help you in any way this evening, please come as together we stand and sing.